with that said, let's do that. Amen. So Psalm 96, please. Psalm 96. Find your place there.
Boom.
Psalm 96, and whenever you find your place in Psalm 96, we'll stand and read the psalm. I was looking for Proverbs 96. That wasn't going to work. Psalm 96. We'll just read the whole psalm. We'll really focus on the beginning of it, but let's just read the entire psalm as we get started here. Psalmist says this, "Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. Why? For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye children of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth." Awesome psalm, amen. We can almost just pray and be done. And we probably won't do that, though, but we can. So the title tonight is this: God deserves glory from all people. All people. He deserves glory from us, but he deserves glory from all people. Let's pray, open into it. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for being the God of heaven. Thank you for being the one who created all things. Thank you for being the one who deserves glory and praise and honor. Thank you for being who you are, and thank you for loving us, even though you know who we are. And so, Lord, I pray that you would work in each heart tonight. Help us to see, maybe with fresh eyes, your glory and your majesty. And, Lord, in our hearts tonight, give praise to you and glory to you and worship you because you're worthy. And then, Lord, help us to have a burden, God, for the lost. Help us, Lord, to have a burden for those who don't give you glory, and that we would, Lord, walk toward them and declare your glory among them. We love you. Christ in my prayer. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Well, it's been an amazing missions month. Amen. It's not quite over. Wednesday will be the last service in our missions month. Brother Drinker will be here to do that. I'm thankful for it, but this month we've learned a lot. We've learned about the mission of our church and really the mission of the institution of the church and churches throughout the globe. The mission is to take the gospel throughout the world, right? Take the gospel throughout the world. We've learned that we need to reach our community, reach our Jerusalem, but we also need to reach all the way to the uttermost part of the earth. And that's not just given to the institution of local churches. That's given to our church. We are to be a part of that, of reaching our community and reaching the world. And again, how do we do that? I mean, we've mentioned this, but can you individually take the gospel to South Africa, to Germany, to England, to Maine, to Leawood, Kansas, to Ogallala, Nebraska even? Can we all do that? Can each of individually, one of us, do that all at the same time? Well, no, we can't. But we learned that as we get involved with missions, Paul said that we play a significant role. Paul talked to the church at Philippi and explained this to them, that as we get involved with missions, that we play a significant role in reaching the world. Because why? Because we have missionaries that go to those places, right? We support missionaries that go to those all those places I just mentioned, and then to Japan, and then to the Czech Republic, and then to Brazil. We support evangelists who carry the gospel throughout the nation, and missionary builders, and Heartland Baptist Bible College, who's training workers right now, training workers and sending them out throughout the nations. And we get to be a part of all of that, and all of that is through what we have called Faith Promise Missions. And it's a blessing and it's humbling to be a part of that. And every time someone like Brother McFarland or Brother Padilla or one of our other missionaries leads someone to the Lord, or not even just, by the way, it's not just leading them to the Lord, it's planting and watering, isn't it? And as they're planting and as they're watering, and those seeds that they planted, as they become watered, and even if Brother Padilla plants a seed and then never sees them again, but that guy, the gospel enters his heart, and throughout the years, others come by and water, and then somewhere down the line, maybe he moves to a whole other nation, and someone reaps that harvest, right? And he is saved. Hey, Brother Padilla is a part of that through the planting and watering, but we were a part of that as we were supporting him as he was planting and watering. Is that awesome? Yep, and we all work together that way. And so it's a blessing. It's an encouragement. It's a privilege to be a part of all of that. Yeah, it's awesome. And we would love to do more and more and more. And there's always more missionaries that we can be a part of and help. But we're just going to trust what God does and what God gives us, and we're going to be using that for the glory of God and reaching the world that way. And so we learned all about that this month. So the question is this, as we've considered all of that and the nuts and the bolts, and I've given some pretty nerdy sermons and hopefully everyone stayed awake, but just trying to help you see not what I think about missions, not what I think is a good idea, but what the Bible says and the biblical model for reaching the world. As we've dealt with all of that, we need to stop maybe and consider, so why are we doing all this? Like, why is all of this so important? Why does it matter so much that we get the gospel into all of the world? Well, I mean, the obvious answer is God commanded us to, one. Another obvious answer is that the world needs to hear the gospel, because they cannot be saved until they hear the gospel. And as we see people throughout the world and we see human beings, they're not just someone in our way, and they're not just someone filling a population number somewhere. They are eternal souls who will spend eternity somewhere. And if they don't hear the gospel, then they have no chance to be saved. And by the way, hearing the gospel one time, how many of you got saved the first time you heard the gospel? Nobody. I don't know anybody who heard the gospel the first time and got saved. No, there's that process, isn't there, of planting and watering and planting and watering. And so all of that is happening. And that's obviously why we need to get the gospel into the world. Hey, there are some places in the world where people don't even know who Jesus is. I can't remember where he was, somewhere in the Middle East, I think, or maybe in Africa, and he was in a village, and he came, and he said, hey, I've come to tell you about Jesus. He said, do you know Jesus? And there's like, oh yeah, I think, isn't he in the next village? And they don't even know who he is. They never heard his name. There are other places in the world where people have heard about Jesus, but they probably just heard a twisted version of who he is and a twisted version of the gospel. There's people throughout the planet who have been deceived into believing a gospel that is no gospel. And they need to hear the truth of the Word of God. They need to hear a pure deliverance of the gospel. And the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the way that the Word of God makes it to people is someone needs to preach it, right? And how will they preach unless they be sent. Sent. We need to send them. We need to either go or we need to send. And if we go, we need to be sent, right? If the authority of a local church, this is God's plan. And so this is what we're doing here. This is what we're doing. People need to hear. If people don't hear a pure presentation of the gospel, they have no chance to be saved and are doomed to spend an eternity in a very real place called hell. And that's why we send missionaries. And that's why we need to reach this city for Christ. Because there's people in this city. There are people, I promise you, in this very city who have never heard a pure presentation of the gospel. And they need to hear. They need to hear. But what if I told you that there's an even more important reason why we need to spread the gospel throughout the world? I mean, what I gave you was a pretty important reason. But there's an even more important reason than that. You might be thinking, Brother Chad, have you lost your mind? What could be more important than saving a soul from eternal hell? What can be more important than that? And if you're thinking that, I'm proud of you, that's good. If you think that way, I don't want to minimize that fact that people are going to be going to hell because they've not heard the gospel. And that's obviously incredibly important. But I would contend with you this, that there's an even more important reason that the lost need to know about God. And we're going to find out about it right here in this psalm, in David. God is good, isn't he? Amen. That's what David's kind of making the point here. God is good. He is so good. He is great. He is greatly to be praised. He's done a lot for us. And we don't deserve anything, but he's done a lot for us. We live in a great country. We belong to a great church. We're able to meet right now without persecution. None of us are going hungry, especially me. Amen. We can be thankful for our family, thankful for our jobs, thankful for our church, thankful for the Word of God. We can be thankful for our salvation. And sometimes we go through life and our tendency is to look and focus so much on all the things that we wish we had and the things that aren't exactly how we'd like them to be that we neglect and forget about all of the manifold blessings that God's given us. Yeah. But when we compare what we deserve to the goodness that God shows us, that ought to just absolutely blow your mind. If you're ever in a bad mood, you just need to stop for a moment and think about what you deserve. It'll help. Right? Anyway. Yeah, it'll help you. Yeah. If it doesn't blow your mind, then either one of two things. Either you don't understand what you really deserve, or you don't understand how good God has really been to you. How about this? Everybody just take a big breath. You know what you just did? You just breathed God's air. He made that for you. Yeah. And not only that, you used the lungs that God created for you in order to breathe his air. Not everybody has lungs that can do what you just did. Yeah. God is the creator of the universe. He knows everything about you and what you think about when you're all by yourself. He knows, the Bible says, he knows even the intents of your heart. We talked about that some this morning. And the things that you would do if you can get away with it. You know, sometimes we think we're a good person, but really, most of the time, we don't do stuff just because we know we won't get away with it. But God knows what you would do if there were no restraints. That's who you really are, right? That's who we are. God knows who we really are. And if God wanted to, he could, and he would have every right to just be done with us and start all over, right? And he doesn't do that. Why? Well, because he loves you. He does so much for us. It's because he's a good God. And he's just way too good to us, if we're really honest about it. And if that doesn't excite you tonight, I wish I would do anything I could to get you to understand how good God is. I can't force you to recognize that, but I wish I could. And when David was writing this psalm, I can just imagine he was just sitting there wherever he was. I don't know if this is when he was a shepherd boy. I don't know if this is when he was king. I don't know if this could have been when he was in a cave running from Saul, really didn't matter what was going on in his life, at any moment in David's life, he could be sitting there and resting and thinking about God and just be overwhelmed with the goodness of God. And that's exactly what's happening here. Whatever was going through in his life, he was just dwelling on who God is. He was just dwelling on the goodness of our God. And he was writing this psalm, and David knew who he was, and David knew who Israel was. And just like us, Israel was so unfaithful to God. And if you read through the book of Judges, and you would find out that God would bless Israel, and then they would serve him for a little bit because he blessed them, but then they'd forget all about him and do things on their own and then wreck their life. And then they'd call out to God, and God would be so good and so faithful to forgive them and to restore them, and they would be doing well. And then once they were doing good, they forgot him again. And that is just a picture of who we are. And it's a picture of who Israel was throughout their history, but it's a picture of who all of us are. And God was way too good to Israel, and God was way too good to David, and God is way too good to us. Yeah. And as David was reflecting on all of this, and on just how good God was, it stirred his heart. And he was overwhelmed with emotions and probably thinking something like this: wow, God is way too good to me. God has been way too good to Israel. And with all of this going on, he writes this psalm. And he starts off the psalm with this: oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Yeah. He called for the entire earth to sing a song, and not just a song, but a new song. Well, what does that mean? That means not, you don't have to come up with a new song every day and come up with lyrics and a melody and all of that. But the idea is, as we sing about who God is, and as you show up on a Sunday morning and we have that song service, and I do my best to get you to get stirred up and think about who you're singing to, because as we sing to Him, it's almost like afresh we should be thinking about the goodness of God and sing with freshness, and not just sing because it's a song and it's song time, but when we sing out, it should be a new song in a sense, freshly pondering and thinking about who God is, and then offering Him praise for that. A new song, a fresh singing to Him. God deserves that, and He deserves that from all the earth, David says. All the earth. And he urged God's people to declare God's salvation every day, to show the heathen the glory of our God. Now, he says heathen, and we start to think heathen as a bad thing. We call each other heathen sometimes when we're not doing right, and sometimes shorter people we refer to as that. What I'm talking about, the younger ones, and you little heathen, because they're, but it's not a derogatory term, it's not an insult. It just means, a heathen literally just means someone who doesn't know God. And there are people out there who don't know God. Not just that they've rejected Him, although we all have in our hearts. Romans 1 makes that clear, that we know there's a God, we've rejected Him, but they've not heard anyone come and declare to them God's glory. And David said, hey, you need to sing out to God, but so do they. And how are they going to have an opportunity to sing out to God unless we go and declare the glory of God to them? And so we're called to declare the glory of God among the heathen and declare His wonders among all people. Yeah. And the reason he is urging that is because God deserves it. Hey, God deserves glory from all people. And that, I believe with all my heart. Hey, I love people so much. But honestly, the reason I love people the way I do is first because I love God, right? And as I think about the millions and the billions of people who don't know Him, and who, if they were to die today, would spend eternity in hell forever, it fires me up. I have a burden for that. And honestly, it's why I'm doing what I'm doing right now. And why I'm not a mechanical engineer or doing whatever. And God called me in a specific way, but the call and the burden is this, is that there are people who will die and spend eternity away from God, and that, and there's a burden within me for that, yes. But an even greater burden in me is this. As I see people wandering around, and on a Sunday morning, driving into church, or walking across the grass, but seeing people, and you know, they're just doing their thing. And Jesus described it this way, as sheep without a shepherd, just wandering around, floating through this world, not knowing anything about eternity or thinking about it, not thinking about God. And yeah, there's a burden for me for them, but in my soul, there's a burden in me this way. God deserves glory from them too. See? God deserves glory. Our God is so great. Our God is so worthy of praise. And He deserves glory from all people. He deserves glory from all people. This isn't just about saving people from hell forever, although that is a big part of it. A higher, elevated reason than that is who God is, and He deserves glory from all people. He deserves it. And as we see people going around in our world who don't know Him, we need to think about this, that these are people that are not giving God the glory He deserves. And we ought to do something about that. You see? And that's where David was. David is seeing all these people who were not singing to the Lord. Right? And he said, hey, all the earth needs to sing to the Lord. Why? Verse 4, we read it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. That means He deserves it. He deserves the praise of people. He is to be feared above all the gods. And David said, I'm looking around and I see the nations, I see the heathens, and they're worshiping false gods. They're giving glory to false gods. And David said, hey, that's not right. God deserves glory, not the false gods that they've conjured up in their mind. God's the one who made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. You see. Yeah. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. He deserves it. And there is a danger that we become so people-focused that we forget God in all of it. And we use God and we use His, what He did on the cross, and we use all of that just to help people, and we take God's glory and we strip it from there. And I would contend that a lot of Christianity is right here. All they care about is people, which, hey, we should care about people. But it flows from first loving God and then loving people. God loves people. Hey, if you are concerned with who God is, you'll love people because He does. But I'm concerned that much of Christianity today only cares that people don't suffer. And I it sounds weird in some ways, and because I am over the top burdened that people will not suffer in hell forever. And that is so important to me. But more important than that is our God. Well, why are you saying all that, Brother Chad? Because there's a danger to just take the gospel and say, all that matters is the gospel. All that matters is that people know how to have their sins forgiven. I'm sorry, friend, but I disagree. All that matters is not the salvation of man. What matters is the glory of God and the salvation of man. It's not enough. We can't fellowship with the church just because they have the salvation right. They have the gospel right. No, God gave us more than the gospel. Why? Because we're called to glorify Him. And we cannot throw away the rest of the Bible and only focus on the gospel. We can't do that. Now, we can't get our eyes off the gospel. It is our main focus. It is our job as a church, isn't it? To get the gospel throughout the world. But what we need to get our mind right and our heart right and say, first, what matters first is God. And then flowing from that, it's people, you see. It's people. And when we show up at church, if we only care about winning people to Christ, then we can just show up and we can just chill out, right? And we can just entertain people and make sure they get the gospel. Why? Because all we're trying to do is reach people. No, that's not all we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is glorify God and reach people. And we cannot sacrifice the reverence that God deserves in order to reach people. How are we doing? God's glory is number one. He deserves glory. He deserves glory from all people, but also from us. It starts with us, doesn't it? It starts with us. Yeah. And so God deserves glory. God deserves praise from all people. God deserves more than that. He deserves worship. Look in verse 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Now, worship, we're just going to get a little bit nerdy tonight. How's that? Worship is not praise, necessarily. Praise is different than worship. They're distinct. Now, they overlap sometimes, but they're two different things. They are. Praise is when we give thankfulness and adoration to God. And praise is where we sing out and we're excited and we're thankful. Worship, in the Bible, you study it out. I encourage you to study out everywhere that worship shows up. And you will find, most of the time, it involves bowing. Bowing. Worship is bowing. Worship is humble. Worship is reverent. You see? Worship is not up here. This is not how we worship. Sometimes we can praise that way, but worship is down here. Worship is low. Music, the music time is the praise time, not the worship time. How are we doing? The music is when we praise the Lord. We sing a new song, right? And we sing, and we're excited, and we're thankful. That's when we sing a new song. We praise Him, but then we give Him glory and strength, and we worship Him, and we bow low. And that's what happens after we hear the Word of God, and we bow. You see? Worship is bowing. Praise is thankfulness. Worship is acknowledging His holiness and His elevated name. Worship. See? How are we doing? So we give Him praise, we give Him worship. And He deserves both. He deserves both. And he deserves it from us, but He deserves it from all people. He deserves it from all people. If you think about praise and worship, and this is maybe the best way I can explain to you. If you had a king back in the old days, what did they do when someone walked into, the king is sitting on his throne, and someone walked into the throne room? Did they come in and start singing a song? No, they did not. Now, were there times where they sang a song out in the courts and singing about their king and long live the king and all that? Yeah. But when they got into the presence of the king, you know what they did? Got low. You see? That's worship. There's times for praise. There's times for worship. God deserves both. He deserves it from us, but He deserves it from all the earth. All the earth. And so He says in verse 10, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. Now listen, as He's talking about praise in the first half of the psalm, He's saying, sing a new song. He says, declare the glory. Tell the people what God has done. And the whole world needs to hear what God has done for them, and they need to praise Him. But then He says, we also need to worship Him and bow low. And what He says, you need to tell the heathen this. You need to tell them that He's coming. He reigns right now. He is the sovereign. But not only that, He's coming and He's going to judge the earth, verse 13. And as they hear about who God is and His reign, His authority and His reign and His rule and His judgment, what does it cause them to do then? To bow. You see? To bow. And our world needs to know about that. Our world needs to know how good God is. Yes? Our world needs to know the authority of our God and that He's coming one day. Why? Because God deserves it. God deserves glory. God deserves praise. God deserves worship from all the earth. Hey, God deserves our praise. He deserves our worship, but He also deserves the praise and worship of all the earth. Hey, there's people in Sri Lanka right now who are giving praise and worship to a God who doesn't exist, and multiple gods who don't exist, and to Buddha, and to the Hindu gods. And they're giving praise, and they're giving worship to these false gods. There are people in Pakistan and Syria right now who are giving praise and worship that God deserves, and they're giving it to Allah and to Muhammad. There's a book for the day party, Came and Preach Revival. And he wrote a book on worship. So if you're wondering about this worship thing, come and talk to me. I'll give you that book. But he said, it's pretty funny, one of his chapters is about how worship is bowing. And he said, if there are aliens, so he gets weird now, aliens come, and they come and pick up a dictionary, and they read worship. Well, worship is bowing. Okay. And then an alien would come and peek in the windows of a lot of churches, and they see people doing this. Huh. And then they go to Pakistan, and you go to a mosque, and they look in there, what are they doing? They're worshiping. You see? They're worshiping. Yeah. And so there are people in the Middle East giving worship that God deserves, and they're worshiping Allah, and they're worshiping Buddha, and they're praising Allah, and they're praising Buddha, but it is God who deserves glory. You see? He's the one who made the heavens. Hey, there are people in America who don't give God the praise and the worship that He deserves. There are people in Leawood, Kansas that don't give God the praise and the worship that He deserves. There are people right here in Falls City, Nebraska that don't give God the praise and the worship He deserves. No, they're giving praise and worship to the saints. And they're giving praise and worship to Mary or to the church they attend or to works or to money or to pleasure or to music or any number of things other than the one who truly deserves their praise and their worship. And so what do we do about it? Here's what we need to do about it. All we need to do is introduce them to God. We just introduce them to God. We don't go over there and force them to do it, right? There's individual soul liberty. We can't force anybody to truly praise God. We can't force anybody to truly worship God. But here's what we can do. We can introduce them to God. And we declare God's glory to them. And we tell them about the authority of God. And we warn them about the judgment of God. And we introduce them to God. Listen, here it is tonight. The heathen need to be introduced to God so that they have an opportunity to give Him worship and to give Him praise that He deserves. And that needs to be taking place here in Falls City. And as you see people walking around Falls City, you need to be thinking this. These are people who God deserves their praise. And these are people who God deserves their worship. And as we read about names, some of these missions letters, and this man that Brother Baird's dealing with, who's a psychic medium, right? And dealing with demonic stuff, and I don't have time to clear up a spot with all that, but stay far away from mediums and demonic stuff and witchcraft. You don't want any of that. But anyway, that man, God deserves glory from him. You see? And yeah, they need to be saved. And they're facing an eternity in hell. But here's why. Because they're not giving God glory that He deserves. You see? God deserves glory from all people. And it starts here. And if the lost come in this building and they see us, who invited them, not giving God praise and glory, and we're just here going through the motions, playing a game, what are the odds that that person's going to pick up on that and say, I should give God glory too? Probably not very high. But if they walk into this building and they see people who are in their hearts bowing in reverence to God and acknowledging His worth. And they see people who are singing from their heart and singing a new song. And they see that and they see how real it is in your life. They've been introduced to God that way. Amen? God deserves glory from all people. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. God, you're so good. God, it's humbling. You're so holy. You're so high and lifted up. You're so good to us. We're so low. God, we're so unworthy to be in your presence. We're really unworthy to sing praises to you, but you let us. We're unworthy to worship you, but you let us. We're thankful. And God, I pray that you give each of us a burden for the lost, a burden for their soul, a burden, Lord, for the judgment that they are facing, but even more than that, a burden that they would glorify you because you're worthy. But we love you. Pray that you receive glory for all we do tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand together. God's worked in your heart tonight.